Okay. Are y'all here? I say like the neighbor does, are you sure? Are you sure? All right. Got to get that out there. I'll be using a number of different passages, actually. Mostly what Book of James. We're going to look at a couple from the Book of James. We started out with Luke's gospel because it spoke of the sowing of the word of God. Before we begin, we need to begin with prayer. Father in heaven, again, it's an honor to stand in your presence and to share your precious word today. Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts to receive your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, I thought I did that, Scotty. Did I say that? Oh, I thought so. Okay. We got to go get a hearing aid, Scotty. We'll get a discount if we go together. All right. If you're with me, we're talking about spiritual growth. Through the years, as being a painter for 50-some years, I've had the opportunity to either paint over spiritual or physical growth measurements on people's doors, sometimes on the back of a pantry door, a kitchen door, a dining room door, a closet door, wherever they decided to measure the kids' growth. It was growth charts. Sometimes they did it on the door trim. I know that Elroy probably had the opportunity to see these growth charts. I have. I know that I painted over a few of them, but there are many times they desired not to have them painted. They just wanted to keep them as a souvenir, I guess. It was a reminder of the good times when the children were growing up, and so a lot of them wished to have it remain on the door or the doorpost. So we had a physical way of seeing growth. Lots of times when we see children of friends that we have known for years, but haven't seen them for years, when we see them, we usually remark, my, have they have really grown. We've seen a lot of changes in their growth, and it was certainly clearly visible that they've grown, and my, have they grown. But how do we know whether we're growing spiritually is the question that I'd like to answer today. How do we know we're growing spiritually? Some people think it's by certain practices, such as attending church or prayer. But I think there is a better evaluation than that. We can see what the Bible has to say about this. We know that growth requires nourishment. In the physical realm, you got to have nourishment to grow. And so it is as well in the spiritual realm. The nutrient is... Does anybody have any idea what the main nutrient is for spiritual growth? You're holding it in your hand, the Bible. Best instructions before eternity. That's usually some of the way that people have described the word Bible. But God's word is the best nutrient. It's an essential nutrient. It's an essential for our beginning of our Christian life. Does anybody know the book of the Bible that's most often suggested when you're just starting out in your Christian life? Does anybody know what book of the Bible is usually suggested to be read first? That's right, the book of John. Don't know why, I just know that that's the most widely suggested book for anybody to read that's a new Christian. It's easy reading. Revelation would be a tough one to handle because it's full of symbolisms that if you're not an avid Bible reader, you would have a hard time understanding what those symbolisms all are. So the book of John is one of the books that's usually recommended for your beginning of a Christian life. And certainly reading God's word the rest of your life is very good. How many of you remember seeing your parents read God's word? I do. I'm grateful and glad that I was able to see my parents read God's word. I remember growing up watching them read God's word and praying. And I'm grateful that I had that and I was able to see that. I can also remember when I was a teenager, getting home later than I should. I remember that when I'd lay down to go to sleep, Grandpa's bedroom was located across from mine. My grandma had passed on, and Grandpa moved in and was with us. And I remember when I wanted to go to bed and just wanted to sleep, Grandpa was praying, and the conviction was so bad that I couldn't go to sleep without praying, because I thought, there's this old man praying, and I just wanted to go to sleep. And the Holy Spirit convicted me in those days that I needed to do it too. And so I'm thankful for those things in my life that I will never forget. It made an impression on my life. And I'm thankful for them. The only way to be saved is to hear the gospel or to read about it. As soon as I read that, I knew where I needed to go. Romans chapter 10. You'll hear this usually quoted by Gideon's because of putting God's word into many places so people can receive the word. And so they usually read this because it fits so well with what they're involved in. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him? This is chapter 10, verse 14 of Romans. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him or whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Or how shall they preach except to be sent? Well, we know there's other ways of receiving God's word other than the Bible. It can be a good Bible pamphlet or tract, as they're called, a gospel tract. We know that some people have come to know Christ as Savior through a gospel tract that was handed to them. Perhaps they found or someone handed it to them. So we know that that's one way of finding Christ is through gospel tracts. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So Peter instructs the believers there that they need to continue in God's word like newborn babies. They need to long for the pure milk of the word so that by it they may grow. And that was 1 Peter 2:2. We have a need of instruction, as was demonstrated by Jesus, who had taught large crowds. He taught small groups. He taught individuals. And in Matthew, it said, and as well as in Luke, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, obviously, James says you got to do more than just hear it. You need to act on it. How we listen to God's word is of utmost importance. James, as we had studied prior, he has different kinds of listeners. His first listener is a deceived or a deluded listener. James admonishes those believers, prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. James chapter 1 and 22. So if you just hear the word and don't do anything about it, sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart when you are reading the word. And if you do nothing about it, this is what James is saying, you have deceived yourself if you do not respond to the Holy Spirit's unctions. How many times have you been touched by a special message or a special song, and the Holy Spirit was moving you and touching you and speaking to you, and you shrugged it off? Somehow or another, you just left it go, and you didn't do anything about it. This is what James is saying. Don't be like one of these that doesn't do anything about it. If you're just going to hear it and not do anything, then you've deceived yourself. You see, deceived listeners assume that simply hearing God's truth is sufficient for growth. Well, it's not. Your growth will be stunned. Sometimes you think sitting in the church every Sunday and being taught from the scripture and you're without careful consideration of what you're hearing, will cause you to have no impact on the way you think. There'll be no impact on your attitude, and there certainly won't be no impact on what you practice. It'll have no avail. You have heard it, but it didn't do anything to you. Didn't change you. The second kind of listener, the first one was a deceived one. The second one is a distracted one. A distracted listener. How many times have you been distracted? Apostle Paul said in regards to marriage, in his day, persecution of the church was evident. And he said in his day that he didn't want to get involved in marriage because he considered marriage to be a what? The very word I'm using here. A distraction. Can you imagine? Wow. What would he think today of the distractions we have if he considered marriage a distraction? Now, he knew that marriage was honorable. God honored marriage. But Paul also knew it could be a distraction. And he went on to say why. Because a husband cares for the things that pleases his wife. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Paul also added, it'd be better that you would please God. And hopefully you can do both. And God, who can. But Paul was very evident. He thought marriage was a distraction. Oh my, do we have distractions today? Wow. Mm-mm. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself, he goes away, he forgets what he's seen. He forgot what he looked at. He forgot what he's seen. Immediately forgotten what he'd seen. And so this individual reads a passage of scripture or maybe hears a sermon and may feel encouraged at the moment, but forgets what it was about. Soon he has forgotten what it's about. You see how the book of James runs very parallel with what I read in Luke chapter 8, you see the parallel of the sowing? See the parallels? When we let the temporal cares of this world distract us, it will distract us from that which is eternal value. And you know, God allows certain things to happen in our life for us to realize what really is important in life. What really is important? It helps us to put our priorities in place. What would life be like with all of its pleasures and material things that we're able to use for a while? What would it be like if you had nobody to enjoy it with? Some of you know what that's like. You experienced that. You had the loss of a loved one or the loss of a spouse. You know what I'm talking about. What would life be like tomorrow if you had no spouse to come home to? It would be difficult, wouldn't it? And sometimes we don't realize how difficult it is until we're faced with that issue. Many have already faced it. Many have experienced that loss. You're here today, you know who I'm talking to. You've experienced that loss. I'll bet if I were to ask you, would you give everything you have in this world to have your spouse back? I'll bet every one of you who've lost your spouse would put your hand up. You'd give it all just to have them back for a few more days. Think about that. Just for a few more days. Thirdly, we have the attentive listener. The one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty and abides by it. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 25. And this look is not a casual look. It's a concentrated. It's an examination. It is a consideration of what we read or heard. And then we begin to apply these truths in our lives. We put them into work immediately into our lives and allow ourselves to be guided by them. It's hard to do when things aren't going your way. It's hard to do. Fourthly, the fourth listener is obedient. He is an obedient listener. Rather than becoming a forgetful hearer, this one is an effectual doer who will be blessed in what he does. He takes seriously our Lord's commands to love God and others. In Mark's gospel, it talks about loving others, serving one another, Galatians 5 and 13, and then making disciples, Matthew 28 and 19, the Great Commission, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. It's a Great Commission, making disciples. You see, this obedient one's faith is not a private matter. It involves ministering to other people. It involves being involved in their needs, helping other people. When you see their needs, you help them. It's selfish to just help herself. God created us to help others. Talked about spiritual gifts. You still wondering what your gift is? I would say that you're probably functioning in your gift already. You're already functioning in the special gift that you want to know what it is, but you're functioning in it already. You just don't know it. You think it was for your own personal needs. God meant it for others. He meant for that gift to be used for others that you're functioning in. It wasn't just for you. It was given for you to help others. Are you helping others? What does your spiritual chart look like? We know what the physical chart looks like. What does your spiritual chart look like? You see, spiritual growth isn't measured merely by how much we know about the Bible. A lot of people know a lot of things about the Bible. You can be very knowledgeable in the Bible, and yet the Bible hasn't affected you. I know you might think that's strange, but it's really not. Do you know the demons believe there's a God? They know. They believe in God. The Bible says they do. They believe in God. So on how much you know about the Bible isn't the key. The key is how obedient are we after we've read the scriptures? How obedient are we? The instruction must be accompanied by our involvement in other people's lives. I believe that's how we truly know that we have grown spiritually, is when we begin to get involved in other people's lives. You see, genuine spiritual growth is revealed by becoming more like Jesus. It's manifested by selfless love, selfless care, selfless. We need to be concerned for other people. This is how we grow. We've become better representatives of Christ to the church and to the world, and also to our friends, to our Christian friends around us. We need to motivate each other to do God's word. The author of the book of Hebrews, I'm finishing with this, says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds." Hebrews 10:24. Jesus said, "The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak." But if we work together, we can inspire one another to the obedience of God's word. It's a powerful benefit of belonging to the body of Christ. Jesus gave his disciples the following warning and promise So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Luke 8:18. So let's ask the Lord to make us careful listeners, faithful doers of his word, so we can grow in the grace and into spiritual maturity. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we're thankful and grateful today to be able to share your word. It was indeed an honor and a blessing. And Lord, as you know, this word has touched my heart before I was able to share it today to all these. And I pray it will touch their hearts like it did mine, to be more doers, not just hearers, to be obedient to your word, to be a good listener, and not only be a listener, but Lord, to just let that work and let your precious word flow through my life, that I can be more like you each and every day. Help me to be more like you each and every day. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.